to the Batmobile. Let's go.
Come on, Bob. For old times' sake, huh?
Harley Quinn, nice to meet ya.
Pardon my French. Fuck those fuckers.
This is my favorite Marvel character ever, but you should never meet your heroes, because honestly, he's a bit of a dick.
Now might be a really good time for you to get angry.
That's my secret, Captain.
I am Inevitable.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Comics in Motion podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris Phelps, and my co-host and very good friend is Mr. Dave Horrocks.
Hi, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Comics in Motion TV and movie reviews for shows that are based on comic books. Myself will be reviewing from the perspective of a long-time comic book reader.
And I'll be reviewing from the TV and movie perspective.
And what we also like to do here is we also like to spoil the hell out of everything we review. And so if you haven't watched our choice of the week, then we'd advise you to proceed with caution. And remember, with an average podcast comes no responsibility. Now, Chris, another new property which we're going to try not to spoil too much. Ah, fuck it, we spoil everything, don't we? What are we going to review?
Well, we're reviewing, Dave, the recently released Hawkeye Disney Plus series, which the first two episodes are available, and there's going to be six, which runs up to the 22nd of December. And from the first two, we're going to get one every week, like we did with Loki and, you know, the everything else. I'm out of my memory
WandaVision,
part of the day,
but yeah, WandaVision,
Falcon Winter Soldier, that's what I meant, sorry. Yeah, but same format, same thing again. So yeah, and the good thing is this one, as a fan of New York, it's all based in New York as well.
You know what? It does have a little bit of a Die Hard feel, I feel like. You know, it's New York, it's in the, you know, it's near Christmas time, or you could say Home Alone or something like that. It just, there's a bit of nostalgia that it's just triggering. And, you know, it's nothing to do with Hawkeye as such, but I love the way this whole series is shot, and what a great move to have it set at Christmas.
It is, to be fair. I mean, look, 2 years ago, I was in New York for Christmas. This isn't a boasting thing. You know, you've been to New York. I love the place. And we had such an amazing time, you know, in that city. And then the world just fell apart, Dave. And, you know, we've booked to go again next year. I've got a Vegas, New York double bubble trip, which I cannot wait for. But New York's got something that even Vegas, that I absolutely, you know, Vegas is my number one city in the world. There's something about New York that I just love. There's a mystique to it. I've been three times now, and twice I've been. I absolutely love that place. So when I watch the films and that, you can go, I've been there. Oh, I know where that is. I know where this is, you know, and I love that. I love that it's based at Christmas and in New York, and it is the song, you know, it's one of the most wonderful times of the year. I just, these are strange. And what's weird, having spent Christmas Day in New York, it's one day and you're done, because they don't celebrate Boxing Day or anything. It's a normal working day the day after Christmas, because they have more holidays than us. So they go through that. So it's very strange.
They have more holidays than us?
Through the year. They have more bank holidays, I mean, like through the year, don't they?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought they had more, like, more days, like Labor Day, Independence Day. I thought they had more holidays. They don't get a lot of leave, do they?
They don't get a lot of leave. I think they just like to squeeze the workers for all they can get. I thought it was about the same. Because we have something like 9, don't we? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They get 9 as well. In fact, all right. Chris, we're actually recording this on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, yes.
Yesterday this will release, won't it? So, yeah, no, they generally get a lot less kind of holidays and stuff. They get paid a bit more, of course. But, yeah, it's always a bit of a sore point, because whenever I'm dealing with people from the US and you say, oh, sorry, I'm not around next week, it's on holiday, I'm on holiday, it's like, oh, God, another holiday, you Europeans.
I didn't know that, you know, because my sister's in Vancouver, and every time I speak to her, she's like, oh, we've got a long, no, that's Canada, but she's like, yeah, we've got a long weekend.
It's quite a different country, though, isn't it?
yeah, it is. I'm actually just, for some reason, pigeonholing the whole thing together, you know, but you're right. And they get about 10-15 days holiday, don't they, in America? Like we get, I get 25 plus bank holidays. I'm sure you're pretty similar. So you get 33 days a year or 34 days a year. They don't even get anywhere near that, do they? Yeah. That's,
I think it's
that's
worse as well. I think it gets better the more you work. So the older you get, I do think you get more holidays, but I mean, they start people off with next to nothing. And Canada's completely different. You know, it's, you've got like healthcare there and stuff, you know, free healthcare, I think. You know, they look after people a bit more in Canada.
Maybe I just need to go to Canada then, Dave, and just pop into America when
I tell you what, with fucking global warming, Canada and Russia, I think, are going to end up with all this extra living space. They're going to be the places to go, I think, in the next kind of 20, 40 years. Not that we'll care, but, you know, just in terms of the human race. Well, this has taken a turn, hasn't it, that I didn't expect to on this Thanksgiving Day. So Chris, what I don't know is, and we're going to be covering just the first couple of episodes, so that's what dropped on Wednesday. And I've never asked you, I don't think, what you actually think of Hawkeye.
I think that this series was needed for him. I think in the movies, The Avengers, he is just like the fluffer, and he's in the background. I know I love like Daredevil and everything, you know, the street level one, the Punisher and all that sort of thing. So I thought this is going to be interesting, but also I always found the relationship with Natasha quite weird as his best friend. They always felt like there was more than a friendship there. There wasn't. And obviously we know, you know, spoilers, if you've not seen Endgame, how all that goes. And this is the whole point of this series, because it's the overhang from there and what happened with Natasha. But yeah, I've never been a massive fan. I think I'm always sort of thinking, yeah, it's Hawkeye, great, no problem. Even at the end of Endgame, when he's got, you know, he's got the gauntlet and everything, it's like, just pass it to someone else. Go on, pass it to Spider-Man. Or so. I don't know. He's just one of them peripheral figures in the background that I don't particularly care about. However, I was really interested in the Ronin character that they brought in Endgame with the full, you know, with the Yakuza fighting and all that. I thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. So going into this, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be good. I know Jeremy Renner's got loads of stick for some of the things he's done outside of the production thing, and a lot of people didn't want him to do this series. They wanted him to recast. But I think for the continuity of the MCU, unless, I mean, I'm not condoning whatever's happened, but I think it had to be him, and it's got to be him. And I think he's the troubled, and I know we're not in the review yet, but I think it just works having him, and it continues that next phase of the MCU, because you've still got some familiar figures there.
Yeah, I think so. And you know what? I'm completely ignorant to whatever's gone on with Jeremy Renner, to be honest. But the comic book Hawkeye, I've loved for a long time. Now, it kind of with the Avengers coming out, he did get a redesign, so he looks a bit different in the comics. He looks more like when we first saw Clint. We actually saw him in Thor first, didn't we? He had a little cameo there. But then you get to see him with the old wife beater top on in Avengers Assemble in 2012. So the comics more reflect that with a bit of purple. But his original costume I used to love as a kid. It's like this ridiculous Robin Hood purple leotard slash, you know, he's got the old kind of sailor boots on and stuff, and I just used to think he looked so cool. And like he was part of the Avengers, but I just felt like he was an interesting character. And I didn't, as a kid, I didn't recognize, like, I wouldn't have thought, like, what is a grounded kind of street level character. It's only in later years where you sort of think, oh yeah, I do gravitate more. I love, you know, characters like Daredevil, and Hawkeye is another one as well. I absolutely loved him from the comics. I think he's great, really interesting character. And so when this came out, I was really excited because, or when it was announced, I was really excited because, you know, in the movies he's kind of a bit blah. He's just there, isn't he? He's got a few lines here and there. I don't really think it needs someone like Jeremy Renner to do that, but for what he's been in the MCU up until now. But I'm really excited to see where they take it. And there was rumours leading up to this, and I think I said to you the other week, you know, I've been trying to, I've got a new leaf now. I'm trying to avoid things like trailers, even speculation about what is actually going to happen in this series. But I had seen that a lot of this was going to be based on a run by a guy called Matt Fraction from 2012. And again, that was such a great run. It was about 22 issues. And, you know, again, it's just a very, very grounded story. There's no kind of space adventures or anything like that. No aliens, no high tech or anything. It's just him kind of dealing with his almost like post-Avengers life. You can see he's got a few hearing problems and stuff. He's got this cute little pizza dog. And, you know, it's just a great story. And so it looks like, from what I've seen in these first couple of issues, it's taken a lot of inspiration from that. And also added in Kate Bishop as well, because I'd argue that from what we've seen so far, this is less about Jeremy Renner, isn't it? And it's more about the Kate Bishop character, so played by Hayley Steinfeld.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I know we're not getting to it, but it feels like it's her origin story more than anything. At the moment, anyway, on the first two episodes, without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, Chris, should we get into the trailer?
Let's go.
This is the first Christmas we've had together in years.
I love you guys. I'm making up for some lost time.
Authorities are wondering if the masked vigilante who terrorized the city's underworld is back.
The past has caught up with me.
Should we be worried?
No, it's nothing. I'll be home for Christmas.
I promise.
It's the most wonderful time.
When I wore this suit, I made a whole lot of enemies.
You're Hawkeye.
Who the hell are you?
Some people have actually called me the world's greatest archer.
Are you one of those people?
It's the most wonderful.
Hey, babe, I should be back in a day or two. Hang on a second. With the kids jingle bell, things have gotten more complicated. It's the most wonderful time. This is too dangerous. Definitely not this one.
You don't have to say definitely like that. Holy sh! There are arrows more dangerous than that one?
Oh, just some Christmas.
In 2012, during the Battle of New York, which we saw in Avengers Assemble, a young Kate Bishop witnesses Clint Barton battling the Chitauri and aspires to become a hero like him. Chris, what did you make to the opening of the first episode?
Well, Dave, the MCU music kicked in anyway, so I've already got my ticket and I'm like, oh, I miss that so much. You know, it's great. I was even watching the fucking segments of Infinity War and Endgame the other day. Anyway, not in preparation for this, just on one of my YouTube little meanders and just love it. Yeah, I love the setting. I love that there is a link between her and Clint inadvertently. Clint doesn't know this. And I do think you touched on something before the trailer about the hearing aid stuff. This is all questions that people would have asked, like, how the hell is Hawkeye? He's just a normal person, but he's got obviously different reflexes and skills. How have they not been affected? So I think just by doing that, it adds a little bit of spice to thinking, oh, hang on a minute, he is a real person. He is, and I think the way they've done the framing and the camera work, I mean, he looks like he's not put weight on, but he looks like he's a couple of pounds heavier than he was in Endgame. And I think that's on purpose because it's nine years since, and he's obviously not doing the Hawkeye stuff properly, is he? People know who he is. I mean, that... the Rodgers musical on Broadway. It's just like, this is terrible, but that's what? The whole point.
I know, it's brilliant. I love the Broadway stuff, Chris. And I
know.
Well, so here's the thing. Again, remember when on VHS Strikes Back we ended up reviewing Tombstone because Tony had requested it, and I was saying, look, I just fucking hate westerns, and that set me off on a path to watch a few of the old classics. And I was like, you know what, I just think I'd had this bias in my head and just didn't like it. Apart from things like Grease, you know, which was played on a loop on UK TV, I just hated musicals for the longest time. And I think because my eldest daughter is so into them, I just can't escape them, really. But they've kind of grown on me a bit. Not that I will sit down and watch them, but I can just appreciate the style of them. And I remember, like, fucking years ago, watching fucking ex-wife drag me off to watch fucking Rent. And I was just like, this is the worst fucking piece of shit I've ever seen. I was just remember, you know, when you're just being grumpy and it's just like,
yeah,
what am I fucking doing here? You know, I'd sooner have stared at a wall. And I think I think I just got into that mindset where I wasn't going to enjoy it. And I still, for that one, I still don't think I'd enjoy it. For a musical, I kind of have to go in knowing the songs a little bit already. Whereas this one, you know, you could see the style of it, how it's all put together, like a Broadway show and stuff. But the music's pretty good. I actually thought it was quite catchy. It's like, yeah, I can do it all day. And it was like, oh, yeah, you could really see. No. And I have to say, Chris, I would watch this. I would watch Steve Rogers the musical.
You know what? There probably will be a call for it now on Broadway. You know, it's so ridiculous that things will just snowball on social media. They'll probably release it. But look, I'm the opposite of you. I grew up loving musicals, Dave. I used to, this is so true. I love my Gangsta. I'm getting a little disclaimer in now, not so, you know, completely Billy Elliot, but I would love my Lethal Weapons, Beverly Hills Cop, my Gangsta movies. But when it was raining at school, I would forcibly, when I was about 10 years old, pretend that I was ill so I could go home and watch Singing in the Rain with my mum. I've watched that Singing in the Rain, Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor. I've watched that so many times. Loads of times, like West Side Story, you know, things like that. I've grew up watching him, you know, even stuff like Calamity Jane. I know, well, yeah, watch that man right out of my hair, Calamity Jane and all that stuff. I watched all them, South Pacific. I've honestly grew up on him. Al Jolson Story, which is debatable nowadays when you go behind the whole character of Al Jolson, but watched all of them, loved them. I remember I won a competition. And I went through my phase, Dave, as you know, winning all these competitions, and we travelled all over, didn't we? I kept winning competitions around like the mid to late 2005 to 2010. And I won, I had to, you know, you're going to laugh at this. This was a trip to New, this is so apt, actually. I'd won a trip to Australia in 2010 and did the Wichita Grub, the challenge, the Bus Tucker trial. I know it's on TV at the moment, as you know. Then I won a trip to Japan. But I took the money, so I got like 1,700 quid because we couldn't take Jordan and we didn't go. And now I regret it. I wish I'd gone to Japan because it's got to see like Konami Game Studio as I'm a big gamer, go to the Disney World or whatever it is over there. Didn't go, me and Sam. But then there was another trip to go to New York. Never been at that point. And this was around about 2012. This is true, this. You had to go to the studio at Key 103, which is at the bottom of Deansgate in Manchester. You had to run to St. Anne's Square in this fountain, run in the fountain with a member of the crew. They had to be with you, get this like certificate card or something, and then run all the way back. So we're talking a 2 mile round trip, right? You know how fucking slow I am, Dave, right? I turn up in jeans and a t-shirt and a pair of trainers.
Oh, God.
Not because they didn't tell us what we were doing. And I had like Adidas Superstars on, flat footed, and I'm terrible anyway. We go. Girl I've got with me couldn't run for, if she was even worse of a runner than me, but I was always good at cross country, so I thought, right, I'm gonna go at a steady pace. The guy who won was like a fucking gazelle, Dave. He was like Sebco. This little guy, he's fucking running there, and he's got proper running, not spikes on, but he's got running trainers on, and he was always 10 yards in front of me. But I had this girl with me who couldn't run, We get to the thing, I get back, and on the way back down Deansgate, I'm legging it, and they're doing it all on the radio, like, we've got these people here, and I'm trying to catch him. Anyway, he beats me, wins the competition, fair enough. But the second prize for everyone who competed that day was going to watch Ghost at the Manchester Opera House. Mm. And I was like, I'm not going to watch this shit. Fucking Ghost. No. I mean, I love the film. I was like, I'm not watching this. Yeah, and it gets in there, and it was quite good, actually, because the woman whose husband had won was a right fucking cocky bitch. She's like, oh, I'm an air stewardess. I go to New York all the time, at least a couple of times a month, but this is going to be great. We've been loads of times. We love the shopping. And you could see the other people had never been and would never experience going away. They didn't have any money, and I'd been to Australia. So I went, well, it's a good prize, that's it. But I've been to Australia, and I've won trips to Japan through Kiwi, and I thought, fuck you. And she's fucking turned her back on me, Dave, and turned the other way, like, oh, shut up, because she's been a bitch. But going back to the story, Ghost was amazing. And when Patrick Swayze's character gets killed, it was the lad who's been Coronation Street, actually. Jimmy Corkill's missus in Brookside, the blonde one. Okay, fair enough. It was her son. He was in Coronation Street for a while. He's a good singer.
It's been a long time since I've watched any of the British shows.
She was Gloria in Coronation Street as well, the blonde woman. But anyway, it was her son, and he dies, he gets like stabbed, but they move the floor and the scenery. So as he gets killed, he sort of falls down. But as he falls, someone comes underneath him. But the way they switched it was amazing. So the body goes off backwards into the scenery as they pull the floor backwards. And that, it was brilliant, Dave. And it was one of the best things I've seen. I mean, someone's gone and watched Dirty Dancing as well. So I am not against musicals. I've gone around the houses on this. Yeah, exactly. Dirty Dancing, mate. It's only Manchester next May. I'm trying to get tickets for Christmas. She's not going to listen to this, day, so we're all right. But I watched this and I was like, no, I'm out. This is nonsense. However, I love what Clint's doing, because he sat there what is this? She wasn't even there. He wasn't. Oh, no. And the kids are like,
what's Ant-Man doing there?
Yeah, what's Ant-Man doing there? He's not there and all this stuff. And it's clever what they've done. But I'm going to be completely honest with you, Dave. I enjoyed these two episodes, but I felt there was something missing out of them. I don't know what it is, but it didn't connect with me as I thought it would. I felt the second episode especially just drops off for me. There's some great set pieces in this, and it starts off brilliant. I love the earpiece. Clint's completely like down on himself. People know who he is. He's trying to get, the guy's tries to get a selfie with him while he's having a piss. You know, that's like typical celeb stuff, you know. So I don't know about you, and I'm not trying to steal your thunder, but I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would, if I'm being honest.
I don't know. I don't know what you think is missing, and you might be right. I mean, the thing is, for these series, I think it's quite hard for them. The Disney series, I don't think, start off with a bang. I guess Falcon and Winter Soldier did, didn't it? You know, you had all those action set pieces at the start there. WandaVision, well, that was two episodes of just 50s and 60s TV, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, and Loki, I don't think was particularly great from the start. You know, so I just think these are a bit more of a slow burn. But for me, I thought it did a great job of, you know, showing Clint and where he is in his life. Like I say, I love the musical. I liked it gave quite a lot of screen time to Kate Bishop. So, I mean, Kate Bishop, she only came around in the mid-2000s. She was introduced in the Young Avengers series. And basically, Hawkeye was dead at the time. I mean, this happens in comics all the time. People are dead, and then they come back to life. So that's why she ended up taking his name. And that's why when he came back, well, there's already a Hawkeye. And that's how he ended up becoming Ronin in the comics. So, whereas it's slightly playing around with stuff here. But I liked, you know, you could tell she's got the skill. She's a young, you know, kind of college-aged girl. You know, because she's doing the old trick. She wants to hit the bell. She hits the bell, it makes no sound. So she aims for the rope. So you can tell she is an absolute crack shot. And she hits the rope, but then unfortunately, you know, destroys the whole bloody...
the whole thing. Yeah.
So I thought that was quite amusing. And that means, you know, she's kind of cut off from the family fortune. What did you reckon to the very opening, actually, with Kate's mum and dad, and the fact that they were having a bit of an argument just before we get to see the Chitauri attacking?
Yeah, there was something there, wasn't there? She was obviously a daddy's girl. But the mum's hair was tremendous, Dave. I don't think in 2012 they had these 1970s helmet heads that she had. I don't know what was going on there. That was like, it's only 9 years ago. We're not that far away from what we're wearing now. Like, so, you know, I don't understand that. She was just like,
but this is TV, isn't it? And you think the demographic. Remember in New Hope, you know, in 77, they referred to the Force as an ancient old religion. And it was like 30 years ago that you had all Jedi running around. So I think they do play a bit fast and loose. It's just because we're old. We're like, 2012? It's not that fucking long ago.
Whereas for kids,
it's like, oh, it's fucking ancient. They must have had like beehives and black and white TV.
Yeah. Did they know what a mobile phone was? You know, that's what I was talking. I agree. I do. You're right. When you look back on things, I do agree with that. But no, I think there's more there to it, isn't there? Obviously, the old man gets taken out, but the mum, there's something about a mum, which is the Cruella de Vil about a mum, that's not completely genuine. And I think Kate knows that. It's like she's trying to find... Honestly, the first episode's good. I just felt the second one went off for me, but the first one's good because it sets the table really well. Look, the guy who she's with, Dave, the fucking twirling fucking Dick Dastardly, he is just out of a comic book, even if he isn't. I mean, Jack DeQuence, or whatever he's called, he's got that ridiculous fucking moustache, and he Dick Dastardly, twirly moustache. And I'm like, could you have not got someone more to look like a devious bad guy? And when she's fencing with him because they're having this conversation, she knows that he's fighting within himself. He's pretending to get beat, innit? And then she fucking flicks it there quick. But the mum is having none of it. She's not believing it because the love for this guy is there. That she just doesn't want to believe that any of that's true.
Yeah. So Jack DeQuence. So it's like, spoilers. I mean, I don't even think it's a spoiler because it is so telegraphed that he is, you know, he is skilled and he's a bad guy. Yeah. So you know that something's coming there. Now, with a lot of these Marvel movies, they like to throw in something from left field, something a bit unexpected, don't they? So I don't think, you know, he's not going to be the only villain, but he's a guy called Swordsman in the comics, so a bit of a nemesis for Hawkeye. So I'm sure he'll come through, and he'll end up being a nemesis, I'm sure, to Kate Bishop. I think Jeremy Renner is going to be in the back seat throughout this whole series, to be honest. I think it's going to be more about Kate, and it's going to build up her kind of character and go on her journey, if you like. Now, with a mum, there is something definitely going on there. You know, with the argument with the dad, you know, she doesn't really seem to have many maternal feelings for a daughter, you know. And like you say, Kate seems more of a daddy's girl. Now, when the Chitauri start to attack, Kate doesn't know where her mum and dad are. It's quiet for ages. And at the very first, I'm thinking, well, is this the snap? You know, because they've just disappeared. And I thought, is it that? And then you see the Chitauri go past, and you're like, oh no, it's the Battle of New York. So the fact that they weren't there for ages, and then her mum comes, and you never see what happens to the dad on screen. You just go to the funeral, don't you? I'm thinking, well, you know, is he dead? I'm thinking probably. But how did he die? I don't trust the mother at all. I think that's going to be the bit of a twist, you know. But I think they've dropped enough breadcrumbs to show you that, well, she's a bit up to no good as well. And the fact that the new boyfriend, so Jack, you know, seems to be playing her. I'm not sure if it's the other way around as well. I'm not sure if she's playing him.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because his uncle, that Ahmad the Third, he's as a puppeter, doesn't he? And he even says to Jack as well, like, I can't tolerate when they go into that underground black market auction. He even says, I can't tolerate your fiance for much longer, you know, and he's like, oh, shut up, you old goat, sort of thing. But again, it's, you know what you were saying about like Die Hard? This had like feelings of sort of like The Dark Knight as well for me, Dave. The cinematography, the everyone's playing a little political game, aren't they? These things going on, and obviously this market comes on, and the Ronin suit is there after a couple of things have been sold, the sword's there and all that. And then the room just blows up. And what I said to you off the podcast, the Russian tracksuit mafia, Dave, are pretty much like for like the bad guys out of the Spider-Man game that I absolutely don't. I've started playing it again for the fourth time this year. I'm playing all the DLC now with Hammerhead and everything. But they're all the Italians with Hammerhead. But you've got the Russian tracksuit mafia are mostly the guys, because they've all got like the red and blue ski masks on with the tracksuits, and they're pretty much the bread and butter of who you fight in the Spider-Man game. They're the thugs on the street who are robbing people and mugging people, and you go and rescue them. They're like the sort of organic things that happen as you're swinging around. Like, the police will come on the thing and go, oh, there's a mugging on 54th Street, and you're around the corner, so you go and like lever about 10 guys and stuff. But I was like proper fanboying out, going, they're our Spider-Man. You know, they don't, but they never mention them as the Russian tracksuit mafia. They just look exactly the same aesthetically. But I love that. I love that little interaction and everything, that they come in and they're just horrible, and she's fighting them all. And the fighting's really good. The choreography's really good in this. It really is. And she puts a suit on and she does get away, and she saves the dog. But I think what gets me is when Clint actually meets her, he just takes her under his wing like that. There's no problem. He saves her at the end of the first episode when she's in the vehicle. Why she gets in a vehicle and locks the doors, I do not know. When you've got 15 guys after you looking for a vehicle to lock the doors.
Fucking leg it.
Doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like, leg it. You've already beat them all up pretty much. Fucking run, no. Let's get an SUV and lock the windows. So it's just like... I know it works because he then comes in and saves the day, but that didn't make any sense to me. And there's little things like that. I was like, that's just stupid. But when Clint meets her, and we go into the second episode, I can't help but think he just accepts her straight away with no, there's no issue at all. It just, there's a bit of dialogue and that's it. He's training her up.
Yeah, it does happen really quick. I admit, and you're sort of thinking, well, there's a little bit of pushback, isn't there? But it's a little bit cliched pushback. It's like, here's my number, you know, but don't ever call me, kind of thing. You know, so it's not just completely let's team up, but not far off it as well. I do think that, so the tracksuit mafia guys, they're in, they feature quite prominently in the Matt Fraction Hawkeye run that I talked about. And I just remember them all just saying, bro, all the time, bro this, bro that. I mean, like you say, I think the fight choreography, it's not quite at like Daredevil levels for me, but it's still really, really good. I do enjoy that. And then, I mean, when they do kind of team up and stuff, but they end up losing the Ronin suit, don't they? Because at her place, which, you know, she saved the dog, didn't she? So the dog's there just eating pizza now. And, you know, he goes off, and I like the fact, you know, when he was looking for it in the fire, like, no one sort of, you know, you're saying about little things that bugged you. Actually, one of the things that bugged me was anyone can just walk up to a fire truck and grab a uniform and and wander in, have a look around. I mean, these guys presumably work together quite a lot so that everyone knows everyone, kind of thing. But he's one of the most recognizable people. It's like fucking David Beckham or something just wandering around the crime scene.
Dave, I've got to say, and I'm sorry, I'm not trying to put you in a downer because I did enjoy it, but that bit was ridiculous because the captain's there telling all his men where to go, the fucking firehouse captain, and Clint Barton's just strolling around like he's invisible, and he walks right past him and he doesn't say, who the fuck are you? Exactly like you said, like, you would know if someone just turns up, and like
an Avenger.
Yeah, and Avengers just turns up. But like, remember years ago, that guy on the United picture, they were on an away game in Europe, and that guy come in the full kit, and Roy Keane's like, who the fuck's this guy at the end? And full kit wanker. But he came in, like, he did it a few times, and then they fucked him off. He was from Manchester, this guy. But you're right, and Clint doesn't sort of like rush around and hide everything. He just strolls back to the fire truck, takes his gear up, has a look round, and then just walks off in the middle of this fucking crime scene and fire. That is stupid. And there was little things like that where I was like, are we supposed to believe that that would actually happen? Yeah, I know.
That bit, I agree.
Yeah. And it doesn't ruin the episodes at all, guys. It's not me being an absolute wanker and just completely shitting on it. I really enjoy both episodes, but I did feel bits like that, and there's a bit missing. The relationship grew far too quick. I mean, you're right what you say about WandaVision Day. Fuck me. Them first two episodes, I was ready to go, I am not watching this, because I just didn't understand why they released two episodes so similar with no context. There was only a little bit of breadcrumbs we got at the end of each episode, whereas with this, we're in there straight away. So I suppose it's one of them, Chris. You've been a bit of a hypocrite. Careful what you wish for. You get the team up pretty much straight away, but then there's the payoff as well. So I don't know. It's strange. It is strange the way it all comes together, I think. And I do think that scene when he went to get the Ronin suit and the fire guys got it on at that fake dueling thing, you know, like they're all the Excalibur.
The medieval,
you know,
reenactment.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
And it's in Central Park, and I was thinking, I don't know why you've put that in here. It doesn't progress the story. I don't know. I don't know if you liked it, so please tell me otherwise. But I just didn't think there was any need for it.
I think it was in there for a bit of fun, and I don't know if they have these kind of medieval reenactment events, much in Central Park. But like, I mean, he got that, didn't he, just from seeing a sticker on the side of the fire truck. That was it. That took him to there. And so it's like, oh, this guy that, you know, everyone seems to know that this Ronin decimated the criminal underworld, but this guy's just like wandering around, you know, he's picked it up at a crime scene, you know, fire, and he's just like, oh, I'll wear this for this bit of medieval fighting. So yeah, there's a few leaps, isn't there? And like you say, the fact that he must be one of the most recognizable guys on the planet. You know, he's part of the Avengers. I know he's not Steve Rogers or Tony Stark or whatever. He's still one of the Avengers. Everyone would recognize him. Whereas it's like, hey, aren't you Hawkeye? It's like, no, of course he's fucking Hawkeye. So, I'm just parking that side of my brain off to the side. It's just within the realms of believability for me. But when you stand back and think about it, yeah, it's a little bit of nonsense.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, I'm going to reference the Spider-Man game. There's a scene in the Spider-Man where Peter is just the Spider-Man. It's Halloween, and there's a fancy dress party. It might not be Halloween, actually. It's a fancy dress party. But they're all dressed as Spider-Man, Doc Ock, Rhino, you know, all like normal people. And they're trying to go after the main baddie, and they've got this like serum that they put on people and it makes them like evil and stuff. They said Devil's Breath, it's called. And they go to a scene and he's trying to find the scientist, but they're all dressed as like Mysterio and things like, you know, like all the old cartoon Nemesis, Dave. It looks brilliant. So Peter's there as Spider-Man, so no one questions him. It's like, oh, they just think he's in the Spider-Man suit. And then all the people who are dressed as the nemesis of Spider-Man, who are just normal people, get this devil's breath. So he ends up having to have a fight with, like, Rhino, but it's a big chunky guy with a fake Rhino suit on. You can see the makeup and everything. And he has to sort of, he doesn't beat them up, but he sort of does judo throws on him because he can't really web him and kick the shit out of him like he can in the game. And I felt like this, they've probably not gone off the game, but it felt very similar to what I'd seen in the game when you got the cutscenes and that, the movie of the computer game. So I related to it really well, that scene, but it just felt a bit off. It was just slightly off. But I do think, going towards the end of the second episode, it gets going, and it left me going, oh, you bastards, I want to watch what goes on next. Because
that's the opposite to what you said before.
The second episode falls off. Yeah. No, it falls off completely. The whole episode, I was bored until the end. That's right, what I mean. Right. Sorry. Right. Maybe I should have said that with a bit more context. But forgive me, Dave. But I do think this second episode was just blown up with all extra stuff we didn't need to see. And it runs at 49 minutes. The first episode's over 50 minutes. So the good length episodes, I like that. But I just felt it was a bit too bloated. But at the end, the bit at the end when he gets basically, lets them capture him, doesn't he? Because they give him a crack and they're like, this is too easy, you know? And he's like, we've got him. And then Kate comes in doing the, I'm going to rescue you. But ends up fucking getting caught. So that was funny. But it does lead on to the end bit where that girl's at that Maya Lopez and it's like, oh shit, we're in the next episode. And that's where I was like, I do want to watch the next episode. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't enthralled by the second one, but this has led me into that little breadcrumb, Dave, because the Daredevil, there wasn't great episodes. There's 13 episodes for Daredevil. There was them shit ones in the middle at times where there was like, you go back in time. The third series, especially with the girl, I can't remember her name, is the blonde girl, and it showed how she ended up coming into like New York. But they tried to de-age her, but we're three series in. She was like, she looks 30-odd when they did so... We've not got to that point, and I think the Disney Plus six episodes thing is a winner. I must admit, it's just enough for me.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, it's funny you mention about Daredevil there, because there is a lot of, or there are a lot of hints to, like, you know, some. I'm trying to avoid the word kingpin, but some head of the criminal organization.
Yeah.
Maya Lopez is the adoptive daughter of Wilson Fisk.
Oh, don't tell me that. I love
so, I who knows? I mean, we've got Spider-Man coming up. There's rumors that Charlie Cox Daredevil is going to be in that, isn't there? Again, these are speculation pieces that I just couldn't avoid, but so if he's not there, I'll be disappointed, which is why I'm trying to avoid all these speculative things. I don't know, I do feel like this could be a good series to give at least a little nod, but I think in some of the dialogue where they're talking about this head of the criminal organization and stuff, it's kind of implying that there is one person now. I, as a Hail Mary, I'd kind of say, well, it could be Kate Bishop's mum, Eleanor. She's up to no good, so she could be a bit, you know, she could have a much better hand than what she's letting on with. But, you know, I'd prefer it if it was all Vincent D'Onofrio and Wilson Fisk there. Now, I don't think he'd play a big part in this series, but I think, you know, a little cameo or maybe even just a name drop or something like that right at the end, I think it could be. But I would absolutely love that. Now, I know what you're saying about the Netflix series is right. I remember the first three episodes of season one being absolute belters. I think it was episode one where you had the hallway scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one take kind of thing, and it's like, holy shit, you know, this is something different. But in the middle, it did drop off, didn't it? And in the third season, I think you're talking about the Karen Page.
Yeah,
that episode. And it didn't drive the plot forward at all, but it helped add more context to who she was. So, again, it's just a storytelling choice, isn't it, with some of these things? You know, do some things drive the plot forward and some things add layers on.
Yeah, and that's true, Dave, because I think, like Luke Cage, I watched both them series and they had a few drop-off episodes, but I thoroughly enjoyed them. I know that the second series didn't get reviewed as well as the first, but I really enjoyed it. And one of the worst ones for drop-off, where there was two or three episodes that were just completely waste of time and really boring, was The Punisher. You know, John Bernthal, he was amazing as the Punisher, and I know he did two series, but I think it's the second series, there was the filler ones in the middle, that from 7 to 10, and you were like, they're like Smallville episodes where they don't further the they don't further the story of Clark or anything like using smoke. They're just these shit ones where he goes and saves a cat or something, or you know, someone's stuck under a train and Clark comes and saves it. And I felt with the Punisher, we got that. It didn't do anything for the show. I was real bored in the middle of that series, and then it picked up again. So you're right. I just think six is just perfect if they can get the storytelling correct, and we don't get any extra fluff that we don't need.
Yeah, yeah, and these are longer episodes, aren't they? Like WandaVision,
yeah,
was like 20 minutes, and
yeah.
You know, you're getting like a good, I mean, it's almost 50 minutes, you know, for both episodes. So you know, you've practically watched a movie there, haven't you?
Yeah, and I remember The Mandalorian was one of the strangest Disney series, because you get like the first episode was 20 minutes, the second one would be 40.
They were all over, weren't they?
They were just yeah, there was like the last two were over an hour or whatever, but it was really strange because they were directed by most of them were directed by different people, weren't they, within the series, and they run at different times. So yeah, it always baffled me, and I think this could be quite similar. They're not a specific time that they run at.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Well, Chris, any more points, or should we get into our final review?
No, let's go, Dave. Honestly, Dave, love the setting. Thought the first episode was really strong, setting up everything for the series. Like I said, the second one for me just fell off completely until the end, which I didn't say at the start of the show, obviously. As you were correct to correct me, David. I think it's left me wanting more and thinking, my God, I can't wait for this to come out again next Wednesday. I think it's really good. Jeremy Renner's good. Like you say, Hawkeye's never been one of my strongest favourite characters, but stuff like this is hopefully it'll swing. So I'm thinking, yeah, you know what, we need a bit more. The Kate Bishop character, you know, I know you've mentioned her before, Dave, and some of our other comic book friends on Comics in Motion have said about Kate Bishop, when they're going to bring her in and mention. I've had no context of who she is, so I'm really interested in what they're going to do next. Is she going to be coming within the film universe? Is she going to get her own series? I don't know, but I think what we're going to get is a great ending towards Christmas. So for me at the moment, I'm putting it right in the middle, Dave. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a great one. I've seen some glowing reviews, and that's great. And as a non-comic book fan, there's probably a lot lost on me, and I need your help and other people's sort of direction on little snippets that I'm not aware of, like the stepfather and stuff like that. I don't know who he is. So you could tell he was a baddie, but as a film fan, a movie, you know, comic book film fan, he's not someone I've ever come across. So, yeah, I'm going to put it right in the middle. I'm sending it to, don't say anything, Dave, Hall of Justice. They always get the podcast mixed up. It's ridiculous, isn't it? 3 years late and I'm still getting it wrong. Hall of Justice, it's good. And I would love to come back at the end. I'm not saying we do a review show, but one of the following shows, we could come back and overall give it an overall score like we did on the others, because I think it deserves it. I think it's going to get better. So what about yourself, Dave?
I think you're right. I think I enjoyed this a bit more than you. I think because of my love for the character, for these more kind of grittier, or maybe not even grittier, but grounded stories, I just thought this was great. I kind of, because I heard that it was going to take a lot of inspiration from the Matt Fraction stuff, I think I knew it was going to be like this. And yeah, I just thought it did a great job. And I think the MCU's got an interesting challenge on, hasn't it? Because, let's face it, and not everyone agrees, but from my perspective, that whole Infinity War saga, nothing like it had been done before. You know, where they managed to bring together 20-odd movies together for a final climax. And it was just amazing, just how they did that over those 13 years or whatever. And then this is, but that's all like pre-pandemic world, isn't it? You know, it does feel like, you know, it's a different chapter. And now they're bringing in these new movies. I haven't actually watched Eternals yet. Need to resolve that soon. But you know, that's not had great reviews. But you know, by its nature, it's a bit more out there. It's a bit more left field in terms of the Marvel comics. You know, so they've got rid of the real marquee superstars, haven't they? You know, Robert Downey Jr. is not in it anymore. Chris Evans. So, and not just the actors, but the characters as well. You know, Iron Man. Captain America and what have you. So getting into this new phase is going to be a bit of an uncomfortable transition, I think. And I think this series shows it off, you know, in these two episodes, how they're trying to hand over. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if Jeremy Renner died at the end of this. You know, and he's just done. And now Kate Bishop is the new Hawkeye. She just carries that mantle ahead completely in the MCU. So I like what they've done with her character. And I thought she got a lot more screen time than I was expecting. And I'm all positive about that. So for me, it's an Atlantis, Chris. Really enjoyed this. It's not amazing, but I think it's just at the end of both episodes, it had me wanting to go to the next one. Because initially I was thinking, oh, we'll just review the first episode. But then I got to the end and I'm like, fuck this, can't wait. no self-control. Need to watch the second one. I think it's great.
Oh, good stuff, Dave, good stuff. If you want to contact us, guys, as always, on social media, at Comics in Motion P. If you want to email us, thecomicsinmotionpodcast@gmail.com. Please get onto our podcast feed. We've got so many great shows from the Comics in Motion family. There's something for every single person if you're into the comic book world. There's some great, great people making some great content on that feed. It's really, really good and dead humbling for me and Dave because it originally started with the TV and movie reviews and we're just a great big family of friends now and always talking about comic books and movies and everything else. So, yeah, really, really good time. So, Dave, it's time to go, my friend.
Yep, and unlike Steve Rogers, we can't do this all day. So cheers, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.
Excuse me, I'm an adventurer.
James Xavier.
Don't fuck yourself.
What in the
ass? Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I always ask that of all my prey.
I just like the sound.
Let's not stand on ceremony here, Mr. Wayne.
Would you care to step outside?
Come to me, son of Jor-El! Kneel before Zod!
Why so serious? Let's put a smile on that face.
I am Iron Man.
I'm Batman.
And he?
Whoa!
Hey!